My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Olympics are in Paris. And that's what we're allowed to play.
So is Emily and so is Kenny Atkinson.
Did you see what Goofball wrote the other room here on the call screen? Set me up for failure, Mitch. Ladies and gentlemen, we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we welcome in Andrew Siciliano, who joins us now from NBC Sports Olympics Gold Zone. You've heard him on, and you've watched him on telecast, your Cleveland Browns, and you know he's a big Browns fan. You've seen him on NFL Network. You know who the hell he is. It's Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, Andrew.
Bonjour, gentlemen.
Bonjour. What's the best Olympic sport?
Oh, God. Well, there's 39 of them. Mm-hmm. What's the best?
To you. It's a personal opinion thing.
Okay. So, I mean, look, I'm obviously a basketball fan. I mean, that's the easy, low-hanging fruit. If you want me to go outside the box and say, what is the sport that I think we need more of in the United States in the 3 years, 4 years in between the games? And that would be team handball. If you've watched team handball, it's amazing. Like if you get, imagine if you get the best NFL athletes, like if you were to get Myles Garrett or Saquon Barkley or Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill playing team handball, like I honestly think Americans would love it and would flock to it.
Should we get those guys to do it then?
I mean, I think it probably runs contrary to the fine print of their NFL contracts, but I guarantee you they'd be good at it. Look, we're going to get flag football is coming in 2028 in LA, and it will be, I guarantee you, a conversation because it's going to be during training camp. But I don't think you're going to see NFL players, but there will be a conversation and a push. Get ready for that. To get NFL players in.
Two questions. First question, then, should we be calling out Commissioner Goodell and questioning his American pride then if the contracts won't stipulate that they could play handball?
Well, first of all, we're not there yet, so I'm not putting any cart before any horse. I'm just saying, in general, your NFL contracts, like, you know, I mean, how many times do you guys hold your breath when you used to see videos of Miles dunking or playing pickup basketball in the offseason? You're like, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Funny
right?
You should say there
is fine print in these guys' contracts. Like, I was just mountain climbing on Mount Rainier 2 weeks ago. I guarantee you there's no way the fine print of their contracts allows them to have crampons and ice axe and a harness being, you know, trying to climb up a crevasse on the side of a 14,000-foot mountain. That is against their contract.
Second one, could we do the handball then at the Pro Bowl games, or is that just a non-help thing?
I'm all for it. Or look, I'm watching Gold Zone right now. We have tennis, beach volleyball, badminton, that gets crazy, and equestrian dressage. I don't know if I need equestrian dressage meets NFL, but sure, why not?
It is
a fun thing. I mean, like, what, like, if you take NFL players and throw them in the Olympics, how would we do?
I just realized Ohio State does have handball, because I was wondering where the handball academies, where are the club teams, where are the rec council? Like, where do you get involved in handball? And if they lose to Michigan this year in handball, yes, I think Ryan Day should be fired.
And replaced with Mike Vrabel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah, let's start that one.
Well, speaking of, by the way, Andrew Siciliano joining us right now. We are paying attention to Mike Vrabel, who has been at Browns training camp. It's very rare that you get a consultant that steps in front of a podium and answers questions. Obviously, Northeast Ohio native, people absolutely love Mike Vrabel here. Just what do you make overall, Andrew? I know you've been able to follow a little bit here and there of what's going on Browns training camp. Just the overall essence of, you have a playoff team, two-time coach of the year, but very quiet otherwise, and all eyes on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, full disclosure, I have not yet seen the Mike Vrabel presser from yesterday. I had to see Stefanski yesterday in the pouring rain. The rain was so loud you could hear it off camera as they were under the tent in West Virginia. The Vrabel thing, I think, is great. You get another set of eyes, and I think it would feel a lot different if both Stefanski and Andrew Berry hadn't been given new contracts as they rightfully earned and deserved a couple of months ago. So I'm all for the Mike Vrabel edition, whether it be on the field, in the building, or just, you know, the coach is blowing off steam playing golf. I hear he could, you know, really kill the ball off the tee, I'm told. As for the Browns, I think I thought it fascinating what Andrew said a couple of days ago, where it's just like, I just want him on the field. Like, if Deshaun's on the field, it'll take care of itself, kind of thing. I think that spoke to their belief in what they've seen so far from Deshaun. I also think it speaks to their belief in the depth of the team and the rest of the team around him. I know it's a sample size, but you go back to the snap against Baltimore last year, and yes, there was a Gregson pick six and plenty of other things happened. The defense made their plays that day to help rally and stun the Ravens. But that was the best Deshaun we had seen. That was the Deshaun of the second half that you went out and got from Houston and hope you'd get every week. You can get 80% of that guy, or you can get that guy you actually saw at M&T Bank Stadium. Then they are in good position. They are in the conversation. Aaron Rodgers said last week about the Jets, hey, there are 10 or 12 teams in the conversation. The Browns are one of those 10 and 12 teams.
Speaking of, Andrew Siciliano joining us on the show. So I came out with my quarterback tiers today, which I usually put with like Kirk Cousins. So like tier one is fourth quarter Kirk Cousins elite. And then it goes 2, 3, 4, 5. They're not rankings, by the way. Tier four is 4 p.m.
Yes, Kirk.
Oh, I don't think they're rankings.
No. You're just reframing rankings and you're calling them something different.
Well, no, I'm putting them in. No, I have Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is what people would call an elite quarterback.
Ken is going to take this very personally, Andrew.
I take it very seriously.
We're doing off-season lists. We're just calling it something different. Keep going.
So I have Deshaun Watson in 4 p.m. Kirk Cousins territory as a bubble QB. He's either going to be a franchise quarterback at the end of this season. He could end up as Russell Wilson, or he could end up a guy that people just go, okay, I'm done having explanations. I'm done making excuses. You is what you is. I can't take you seriously anymore.
I refuse to put him in a bucket. I say, and I just go for any quarterback, I say that it is a pivotal year considering the way quarterback contracts have been escalating continually and considering that, look, after this year, they will know. Let's just say this. Regardless of what happens this year, they will know, assuming he stays healthy. And if he doesn't, then I think, again, they will know. The jury, the overall feel as to whether or not this is and can still be the right move moving forward, you will know after this season.
Boy, that would be nice if it turned around, because we're sitting here wondering if his confidence has been shot, if it's just that he hasn't had enough football. because he's been away for so long. We saw some of those gifts in the second half against the Ravens game, but you know, we also remember the first half of the Ravens game, he was god-awful. He looked like one of the worst quarterbacks in football. So there's just been zero consistency, Andrew, since the moment we got to Deshaun Watson, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. There's been no consistency, and then that goes for consistency of play and consistency of health. So you get consistency of health, you're going to find out about consistency of play. And I think that's what Andrew Berry was saying. I just want him on the field. And if he's on the field, then we're going to be okay. Obviously, they have belief, they have confidence, and they're going to say it publicly. And I think we all agree. You see him on the field, and you know, you get a run game, you get a defense, it should take care of itself. And if it doesn't, as I said, then you know.
Andrew Siciliano joining us from overseas, where he is at the Olympics in France. So I want to get...
Actually, hold on. Can I cut you off?
Yeah, go ahead.
For point of clarity, we are in beautiful Stamford, Connecticut, where NBC has over 2,000 people working on the Olympics. So Mike Tirico is there, Med Fareed is there, the Today Show is there. When I say there, I mean Paris. Maria Taylor is there for your primetime in Paris, and maybe Noah Eagle in Lille, and the gymnastics and swimming broadcasters. Everybody else, we are here in lovely Stamford in probably the most amazing sports TV facility I've ever been to.
All right, so even better than I imagine. Yeah. You were paying attention big time to the trade deadline yesterday. Some fans are absolutely outraged that they didn't make a big move. We just got news that Jack Flaherty, apparently the Yankees were worried about his medicals. So with all of that said, are you bummed that the Guardians didn't go all out, quote-unquote?
Well, let me ask. So, yes, I did. I was hoping they would do more. Easy answer. Yes. Who is it that you wanted that you're upset they didn't make a big play for? Is it Jack Flaherty?
We have gotten that name a bunch.
Okay.
We've gotten Fetty, which I don't think a lot of our fans even knew what his full name was a week ago.
Someone actually called him Zeddy earlier.
Exactly. And there's my point. Like, we're talking about a guy who, correct me if I'm wrong, was also much like Ben Lively, like pitching in Korea 2 years ago, right? So we're talking about giving up the farm for a guy whose name we don't know. That's kind of my point. I would have liked to have seen them do more, right? The Logan Thomas move is interesting for what you gave up. I mean, the guy steals a lot of bases. He's not exactly hitting the hide off the ball. I think in Thomas and Cobb, you're like, okay, can we get the guy we saw a year or two ago? Right? Like, if Alex Cobb comes back, it's great. All right, there's a veteran arm. There's a veteran arm that could stabilize your rotation. But he's been banged up, and now he's got a blister. You didn't give up much for him. Like, that one I'm okay with. But you're really banking on Cobb and Boyd, two guys, two veterans, two guys whose ages begin with threes, to come in and be stabilizing forces in your rotation. It's not like you're trading for Max Scherzer. All right, right. So if that's your point, those are the kind of moves we've seen other teams make at the deadline of the past. Go get the 200 win ace. That ain't happening. They got two guys in their 30s to try to stabilize the rotation. I hope it works. And the Logan Thomas move, I guess. I mean, you gave up a lot. I guess. I mean, it's a veteran bat.
We want to play some audio from earlier in the show, Andrew, and I'd like to get your take on this, because every year at the deadline, we get a similar reaction from the fans, and there's only so many days a year I can do the Dolans don't have any money radio, so I went a different way considering where the Guardians are in the standings today. Listen to this. I'm sure that definitely played to the very vocal minority loser faction of the fan base right now. I'm sure that got them all pumped up.
Whoa!
So that's good.
No, hold on.
I'm glad those guys could all get in a room and commiserate and have a good time.
I wouldn't call them losers, Anthony.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I definitely would. You thought that today or last night was going to be your big moment to shine. Then you realize, oh, you're just talking to the dorks on social media. You're just talking to each other. You're just having a big conversation to reaffirm everything you already believe. And then you realize, oh, it's actually a team that has the best record in baseball right now that a lot of us are having fun with. So, Andrew, I woke up this morning seeing all the outrage, all the angst from fans that brought up again, you haven't won a World Series since 1948, as if this was supposed to be a World Series or bust season when most of us had them like a 500 team. So where are you right now on the Guardians and where they're at?
Where am I? I still look at the standings and realize that they have the best record in the American League. I still look at the standings and realize they took two out of three from the Phillies. I am a fan with your typical level of fan anxiety that thinks to himself, is this team truly built to win in October? I think they are okay for October. I'm concerned about wearing out the pen, especially when you get into these high leverage moments in September and October where you're really going to go to those guys even more so than you're doing now. So I would have loved an extra arm for the pen as much as an extra arm for the rotation. And I just hope that when they get to October, Josh Naylor and Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan are all hot at the exact same time, right? Keeping all three of them hot simultaneously is always a challenge. I just hope that in September and October, you can get a couple of them hot. Look, this is not a juggernaut team, but this is a team that night in, night out has found a way to win. At times, you look at the box, you're like, how the hell did they just win that game? But they did, and then they did it again, and then they did it again. So I am keeping my fingers crossed and holding my breath to, you know, whatever metaphor you want, or the stand might be the metaphor, you know what I'm saying? I'd like just find a way. That's all. I'm trying to be positive. I am positive.
Is Jose Ramirez the face of Cleveland sports right now?
Is he face of Cleveland sports?
Yes.
I mean, sure. Why not? I don't know. What are my other choices? Miles, Nick Chubb, Stephen Kwan. I mean, who else? Donovan Mitchell?
Anybody.
Okay, sure. I don't care.
Andrew Siciliano, NBC Sports, the Olympics Gold Zone, and of course you hear him with the Browns. Andrew, thank you very much for the time.
You got it, guys. See it.
Thank you. Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tone?
He is, I think, where most, I think, rational Guardians fans are. Like, all right, wish they could have done more, but they're in first place. They got a shot if everything falls into place. And that's always been baseball. You need things to fall into place. There was no move at the deadline, by the way, that was going to make the Guardians a juggernaut, right? Can we agree on that? And then I thought it was interesting. The news came down while we were doing the interview that the Yankees were worried about the medicals of Jack Flaherty. So I imagine if the Yankees were doing their due diligence, guessing the Guardians were too. So maybe that's part of the reason that there was no deal consummated.
Terry in Euclid. Terry, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, Terry.
There's a couple things.
Yeah.
You guys are keep talking. I hear Antonetti talking about you got to have a trade partner and all that. Let me ask you something. On your job, are you asked to deliver?
Yes.
Okay. If you're asked to deliver and your job is to deliver and your job is to get an arm, I mean, this is my thing. I understand that the arms were hard to come by, but that's work. And all you're going to do is hold on to Manzardo because you're afraid that he might go somewhere else and do good. And what about the guy you get? What about if he does? And also, Jose Ramirez took this hometown discount, saved you money so you could go out and get other players. You're not paying anybody else but Jose Ramirez on this team.
Well, yeah, but
maybe a minute.
That kind of becomes a falsehood, Terry, because we say, okay, if he signed a $160 million deal, right, we think he could have signed a $260 million deal. Well, it doesn't mean that they had an extra $100 million to spend. Like, I don't know that.
They also said if the fans come out, they would. Remember they said that years ago, if the fans come out, we'll do what we have to do.
That was like the worst thing.
The fans coming out.
That was the worst thing Larry Dolan probably ever said in public.
I'm not defending him for that. All I'm saying is you don't have that much time. Or that you can't say, well, down the road, we're going to be this better. You can't say that. You're the best team in the league right now. You should add to the best team in the league. What did the Yankees and Dodgers almost remade their whole team?
This
is crazy.
Who almost did?
The Dodgers. How many players did the Dodgers pick up? Four or five?
They picked up. Well, they're in Hail Mary mode, and they've spent a lot of money. But I use the Dodgers as an example. They can eat whatever cost
I'm not asking to get four or five players. I'm asking to get one good player. That guy in Oakland, Rook, he would have been a nice pickup. I don't care if you had to give up Mazzardo.
Yeah, but you understand. I mean, Terry, if we're going to do it, like we got to kind of know who these guys are. And again, I don't know what they wanted in return if they were comfortable in giving it up.
By the way, the Dodgers kind of had to. I mean, the injuries that they have, they don't know when guys are coming back. They kind of had to remake their roster to some extent. And when it comes to like Tommy Edman, Ahmed Rosario, they don't know how much playing time or where those guys are going to figure in come playoff time. So they're taking just as many stabs.
Before you cut me off, this is what I'm going to say. I think the move they got the guy from the Nationals was a good move. I'm not saying it wasn't a good move. And I'm not really, really just upset that they didn't do more. But at the same time, when you're in this position, you have to take advantage of it. It's just as plain and simple as that.
Terry?
Thanks, guys.
Terry, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. Did they owe Jose Ramirez more? Or is that a falsehood? And Mike Vrabel's going to help Kevin Stefanski, and there will be zero drama this year. So a lot of people getting in on Jose Ramirez. And whether or not like you owe Jose Ramirez more during the trade deadline. Because there is, like, when we say, and we're partially to blame, because if I were just driving around, like, and I'm, like, half-ass paying attention, right? And we were saying, well, Jose Ramirez took a $100 million discount, $100 million discount, $100 million discount. We were doing it for the last, 2 years now? I think a lot of us would say, well, there's $100 million sitting there that they can use for other players. I don't know if there's $100 million sitting there. So when I say that to Terry and Euclid, that's partially my fault there as well. Okay, I gotta accept some blame, because when we say he takes a massive discount, we act as if, hey, we have this money, but if we pay you all this money, then we can't pay anybody else. I don't know. So I can turn right on around and say, for Jose, you signed the deal because you like the area, you like the fans, and you like playing for the organization. That sounds callous. That sounds like you got yourself into something you can't get yourself out of. That doesn't sound right. I don't like sounding like that when it comes to Jose Ramirez. I don't want to take Paul Dolan's side or an owner's side when it comes to a guy like Jose Ramirez, any baseball owner, when it comes to that. Because I think it is a bit crass. And I think you agree with me on that. But when we do say, like, hey, he could have got 260, got it, ended up getting like 160 or whatever the number was, you know, we kind of create a falsehood of whatever money that they're sitting on, pile of money that they could. Like, if you had an extra $100 million, and I knew they had an extra $100 million, it's like, I don't want to hear anything about, I don't know if I'd really want to go after Blake Snell. Let me use him as an example. $25 million next year in salary, or $30
million. My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
$1 million next year in salary is not a reason to not go after Blake Snell if that were to be the case. Now, if you just tuned in, I can't advocate for Blake Snell.
Who did Blake Snell get traded to again yesterday? That trade deadline, what was the big move? Where
I don't know if he did.
Blake Snell got traded. What's the team he got traded to, Mitch?
The Giants kept him.
Can you? Oh, he didn't get traded is what you're saying.
I don't think he got traded.
That's right.
You're doing a little fooling
Wait a second.
Pull the old switcheroo,
Hold on. Did you? You were telling me before the show. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., where did he end up?
Toronto.
What was the move? Oh.
They traded him to themselves?
I don't even understand what they have to give up in that deal.
Nothing.
So, well, that's a good deal then. I mean, you see the lunacy in how fans are talking about this. They think it's the NFL. They think it's the NBA. They think that superstars are going around and moving from team to team. Like, that is, guys, are you not paying attention to how this works? That's not how this works. Certainly is not how it works this year.
There's constraints of not market constraints, but even sport constraints there. You notice that there were a lot of guys. And we can say that those were Scott Boras clients.
Yeah.
Boras.
Yeah.
It's weird to say clients and Boras at the same time. It's weird. The Borai were out there, and a lot of them were sitting there waiting on deals, and they were saying Scott Boras had messed it up and things like that. But I also know, I mean, you know this, Anthony. We haven't made the biggest a deal. Nobody knows where their TV money's coming from or that they are going to get all their TV money.
Boy,
and so you and I have stressed that going, hey, with all these local deals, they really don't know what they're getting.
Go read about the Twins. Every single publication wrote the Twins have no clue if they're getting any money from TV.
Well, no, they took a $30 million payroll haircut because of that because they didn't know.
Right. And I think it's been rumored that the Guardians – $20 million less than they were supposed to get.
Well, $20 million less to the Guardians is about $150 million less to the New York Yankees.
And then add that to what they're paying Miles Straw, Laureano. I think they got $20 million, just not at the big league roster.
Yeah.
Remind me, Mitch, you were also going to be all over this. What's the contract extension that Garrett Crochet signed with his new team? What did he end up getting?
$0 and 0 cents so far because he hasn't signed one, I believe.
Okay, but who did he get traded to?
He didn't get traded to anybody. He stayed with the White Sox, the 27-83 White Sox.
So
they're 27-83.
That's amazing, by the way.
Holy potatoes.
On pace to break the modern era record for worst record in a season.
And if I gave you 2 seconds, could you name me one of the two broadcasters on TV for that White Sox?
Mirror him.
Steve Jones.
He got it.
He did get it.
He did get it.
Apparently, he kind of went like phone. How did you not get Schriffen?
Yeah, why didn't you get Schriffen? We have a whole bit named after.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't realize for the first second that I was actually on cue, so I had to rush there.
Greg and Canton. In the hometown. You're next up on the fan, Greg.
Okay, I want you guys real quickly. Don't look it up. Name me one bona fide ace from the playoff teams in the American League. I'm thinking maybe Corbin Burnes, maybe Seth Lugo. Don't give me Garrett Cole because I don't know what body fatigue is. Give me one.
I'm not giving it to you.
Okay. Secondly, there's a big difference in the way the playoffs are going to match up because we're not going to play that stupid wild card round where we have to use our 1 and 2 against our in the first round. We're going to get Bybee and Williams matched up against a 3, 4, 5 starter in that series. Because we don't have to play that for it. We're not, unless we implode. But the bottom line is, we keep, so the pitching matchups it's not going to be as bad as we think it is. And I think this trade for Alex Cobb was was similar to what they did with Cliff Lee in 2007, when they left Cliff Lee to rot in the minors because he couldn't get his head straight. Here, they're telling Tristan McKenzie, we would rather have Cookie Carrasco and two guys who haven't pitched yet rather than you. Stop strikeout hunting and get this fixed or whatever your problem is.
Well, Greg, I think you made a couple of really valid points. That, I don't want to turn it into, okay, let's hope we get a rain delay. Like, we'll have Gavin Williams, rain delay, Ben Lively, Gavin Williams. Like, I hope we don't turn into that. But you do have a great point where it's like, man, we're really hoping, and this isn't just with the Guardians. I think Seattle's gotten a lot of quality starts out of their starting rotation. Their starting rotation has been pretty good this year. But
I don't think they can score a run, can they?
Well, I'm just saying, Greg, like we're kind of hoping that guys can get through five now. And so the bullpen has actually become a strength for us, and I don't think we're used to that right now. We used to be used to going, hey, let's go seven each outing. We got to get through seven. Now it's like, can you give me five? Well, and I don't think that's just the Guardians. I think that's everybody.
They were doing that in the 2016 World Series. This isn't a new concept.
And that was a different feeling because we did have an injury in there. But I'm saying all across baseball, you're right on. But all across baseball, because we're only paying attention to the Guardians. Let's be honest with each other here. Greg, you make a great point because throughout baseball, it's like, hey, let's get through five. Like if a guy goes, like what? Who was it? Who started against San Diego? And the game I went to that Friday, damn it, and he got through five innings and we were giving him a standing ovation. Like five and a third and we're giving him a standing ovation. And Greg, thank you very much for the call. Like, Greg's not wrong about that. We're just so used to having good starting pitching I kind of have to recalibrate how to react to some of this stuff.
I went and watched him start Xavion Curry a week and a half ago. And he made it through five and we were like, yeah, we won the game. Because we got the guy that's not in the rotation into the part where they were playing the Tigers, and the Tigers went bullpen day. That was a win.
Mike Vrabel spoke to the media yesterday. He was asked, will he play a role during Browns games?
There won't be a role on game day. You know, that's something that we had talked about prior to doing this, which, you know, it is the right fit for everybody.
Will he try for another head coaching job this coming offseason?
Sure. You know, I mean, at the right time. I think, you know, there's a time and place for that. It's not going to be anytime soon. Things that I'll ultimately learn here may help me the next time that, you know, I get an opportunity to have one of those interviews.
This seems to be about as secure as a Browns head coach has been. Think about this. Marty? Can you count him being secure? There might be, if there's 60-year-olds listening right now, please correct me. I'm serious. Please correct me. I'm going
Belichick
all the way back.
Before he cut Kozar? Was he secure?
Well, I remember as a child, people were just...
He wasn't bringing in...
It was non...
He could be a head coach right now.
Bill Belichick was the villain of villains. And it wasn't just... Like, even before he... Like, the cutting of Bernie, like, people just did not like the guy here. And like down in Canton, it was like, when are they going to fire this clown? When are they going to fire? I remember my dad laughing when the Patriots, we were watching the press conference on CNNSI, when the Patriots like brought him in, laughing. And then we saw what happened. Of course, he got Tom Brady. But is this as secure as a head coach has been? Because I don't feel like there's going to be drama here. Like at first, people were starting to hit the sirens on Mike Vrabel. I'm going, I think he's fine.
Well, can I ask a question though?
I think we're fine here.
I get they said they agreed on it beforehand. Why isn't Mike Vrabel, if you're telling me that Mike Vrabel does all these amazing things and we're seeing it, and boy, our media is absolutely loving Mike Vrabel, the videos the Browns are posting, we have national correspondents saying what a huge coup this is for the Browns to have another set of eyes like that, a guy that should be coaching. Why isn't he helping on game days? Game days are pretty important.
Does it say he's going to not be there on game day?
Said he has no role on game days.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we're going to take you over to Tennessee Titans camp yesterday. And the reason for that was kind of a back and forth between a player for the Titans, defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, who had some words yesterday as 104.5 The Zone was there. Buck Rising was having an interview with Titans cornerback Roger McCreary. And Simmons exchanged some words with Buck. Here's the clip.
Well, Jeff, you want to sit down? We can talk whenever you want to talk. Jeff, we'll deal with that later. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, I mean, we're on the air right now.
You do a lot of talk on social media.
I'm right here, Jeff. We can talk anytime you want to. Unbelievable.
We got
to
make that happen.
Well, we'll deal with that later on. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, if you want to sit down and talk about this, we can talk about this.
I'm telling you, stop talking on social media. Talk to me.
I'm talking to you right here. Jeff, we tried to talk to you last week. I'm being rude to Roger. We'll deal with you later.
What's that audio courtesy of?
104.5 The Zone.
Can I just get this off my chest?
I'm
not trying to be mean-spirited to the host, but who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
I love that this poor Roger McCreary is sitting there while his teammate is going after the host, And he's like just sitting down, getting ready to do his interview. Like that's the guy that the team made available that day. We've been in that position many a time out at Browns training camp. And the whole time, Roger McCreary going to be joining us next here on the show. And it just kept mentioning.
Good morning, Zoo. Hey.
Not that I'm even taking Jeffrey Simmons' side. This is why, man, yeah. I don't like to
cuss. We don't know the history, obviously, between the host and the player.
I don't like to tweet about players, basically. Anything I say that's critical of a player anymore, I just say it on the radio.
Well, our Twitter feeds, let's be honest, our Twitter feeds stink nowadays. They just stink. Because
well, they're just there to get people in trouble.
We're not, like, a younger me was absolutely trying to do the look at me thing and going after guy. I remember the Pac-Man Jones. I said I did not want Pac-Man Jones in Cleveland because I did not want him living in my neighborhood.
People took that a different way.
And people took that a different way. In the end, I think he got arrested 4 more times since.
He got arrested at least 1 more time since that whole thing, yeah.
But I remember, and what was I doing? I was just trying to do look at me stuff. I was trying to draw attention. And I also didn't.
Why, you start accusing people of look at me radio, and you end with people doing look at me Twitter.
I'm mature.
Well done.
But the Twitter feed, you're right. There's no reason, like, sit and go after guys. The professional athletes, what is interesting is hitting. Like, he knows who you are. He is listening and paying attention. And fans will say, these guys don't pay attention to the media guys. They kind of do sometimes. And they pay attention to fans. I mean, they do. Some of them do a better job of blocking it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people, it has come out, a lot of people and media members have been blocked by the starting quarterback of the Browns. Maybe that's a good thing. Honestly. You don't hear me come on the radio every day and complain about getting blocked by Deshaun Watson. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe this is what they need to tune it out.
I remember people used to come on the radio every day and complain about getting blocked by Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I am not. I don't think these guys need to be on social media. I think it's cool when they interact with fans and media sometimes. I do. But if that's not them, everybody has a different personality. Everybody has a different way that they treat social media. They got to find what works for them. Like in Deshaun Watson's point of view, I mean, yeah, he gets crushed every day by guys on social media. Mm-hmm. Every day. Even if that guy could come out and have a perfect passer rating through the first 4 weeks of the season, there are going to be national media guys that are uncomfortable with Deshaun Watson. Like, he just has declared he's just not going to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's going to be better off for it.
You've actually, I know you don't want to name names or anything, but it's not like you haven't had to. Was that something that he knew you said about him on the radio, or tweeted about him? A former Cleveland Browns football player when you saw him in a restaurant. Do you remember this?
I'm going to do a mic's off here.
Oh, it's been a while. 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
Do you remember that?
I know. Mine's sticking to
it. Okay.
I absolutely remember that.
Was that something you said, or did you just didn't like your face, or what was it?
That player's significant other had been talking to me at a club.
Oh, that's not going to go over well.
No.
I didn't know that part.
I also didn't know that was a significant other of the player. And, you know, at that time.
Well, I was up for anything.
I talked to a lot of people.
He is a he's a social butterfly, Anthony is.
Or you know, at that time, too, I also had probably irrational confidence. Because things were going well for me.
You thought you were going to take care of business against that guy?
I didn't know. Again, I had no idea.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now I get that. Okay.
Where that that VIP section was, there were a lot of people from a lot of different groups.
There's been one.
And somebody took a liking to my conversation.
Well, there was one very uncomfortable situation I was in, which we've talked about. And then there was actually another where, remember, it was a miscommunication.
Where there was a mistaken identity.
A mistaken identity where a former Browns linebacker was told that something nasty was said about him on the radio, and he thought I was a different radio show host. And he stared at me, and I thought he was going to come over the table and kill me. And then it got clarified that, no, Kenny was not the guy who said it about you. It was somebody else. And then things changed very, very soon. Well, he's a very nice man,
by the way. Think about the lunacy of this in general. And this is where I'll actually back the player.
Yes.
It is kind of crazy that you go out there, you play a football game, and yes, you get paid a lot of money. And then at the end of that football game where you put your life at risk, you put your future at risk, you take hits to the head, your knees, guys come low, you have a chance to end your career at any point, and a lot of people are counting on you. And then it's like, hey, stand in front of reporters who ask questions who have never played at your level remotely, ask you why you did things the way you did it. It is kind of silly.
That's the only way to get perspective,
and,
though.
Right, it is. But if you really think about it, and then, oh, by the way, when you go home, your phone is going to light up because you've got fans and media telling you how bad you just did the thing that they could never do.
You asked me the question.
So it makes sense. I understand.
It does. You asked me the question right before we went to break about not having a role on game day for
Mike Vrabel.
Is that possibly to avoid any sort of goofiness? Like, I don't think there's going to be any drama. I also know that you got to make sure to do what you can to avoid it. Like, if there's a game day role, how significant is that game day role? Could he, in his face, he is a player's coach. And I'm not saying that he kowtows to the players. I just think that his experience, his greatness as a player, as a self-made player, in so many ways, I think that speaks to everybody in every locker room that he's ever been in. I think he has a very commanding presence. I think if he walked in here right now, I'd shut up and listen to every single word he could say, and I would soak in everything he said. And I one time said Freddie Kitchens was better than him, which was very stupid. But it was before Freddie Kitchens' first game ever, so let's be honest. Could he, if he had a game day role, he's going to share opinions of what should happen. Could he then usurp the power of any of the other coaches that are playing very important roles in the organization? I'm not even talking about Kevin Stefanski here in this case.
I know.
Like, that could take away some of the power or some of the perceived power of some of the other players that are or some of the other coaches that are on that staff. If Kevin Stefanski were to consult with him in game, then I think I have questions with my other coaches, and then obviously you're going to have questions with the players.
His parameters were very specific on the things that he would be consulted about in game, because I mean, I will still go back to the playoff game where he knew before there was 5 minutes left, just keep taking the false start penalty because you're going to wear it down, and then Belichick has no time.
But you know, this is even as doing like kids football, it's like, yeah, we all have our game day things, and then there's times where it's going, hey, if no one's going to tell you, you only have one timeout left, I got to be the one to tell you. Like, those things play into it.
Yeah.
So if he oversteps his bounds or whatever, and then he might feel bad that he didn't overstep his bounds at one time and watch them make a mistake right there in front of God and everybody. And there could be a point where,
Yeah, but if he's linked to the organization and that were to happen anyway and he's not even at the field, is he still not going to feel bad about it?
Oh, yeah, I think he would.
Yeah.
I think he'll have opinions.
Get him in the press box, put a headset on him, let's go.
But
yeah, I mean, Vrabel is
you
known.
You think he should have a game day presence?
Absolutely. I think he's one of the greatest minds in the NFL. I think he should have a
role. Yeah,
if
all
it weren't for the big Siciliano interview, I would have done this earlier with you.
He's had two rules change, one as a player and one as a coach. He's had two rules that have been around the NFL. He exploited them. They had to change the rules. Yeah, I want that guy on game day. I need that guy. Like, that guy could help us win a game.
So you
out
think
of
he should have a game day role?
Yes.
He's the best offseason addition that the Browns made this year.
And it's because
it's better than Jerry Jeudy.
All right.
It is.
Yeah. All of us back to our corners.
Okay.
All of us back to our corners. Tomorrow's a big show. What are you smirking about? Did you get the tweet of Kramer walking in the Jesus's?
That was what I laughed out
loud. Or Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat when he got called a pimp? Mike Boone.
I pulled off some things I never should have pulled off. And so, yes, I was talking to players' wives. Okay? There. Said it.
Twitter reactions brought to you by Chapman Jewelers.
Whoopsie daisy!
Jewelry store. You started with the safety off, and you ended with the safety off. Now you know what's coming up tomorrow.
He went as he came.
We'll argue whether or not that Mike Vrabel should have a game day role, and what players' wives were Lima hitting on back in the day before he knew Sarah Ono? We answer those questions and more tomorrow morning, 6 to 10 on The Fan. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitchapalooza, for the slippery wizard, Anthony Lima.
Wasn't Scott Player, okay? It wasn't Scott Player.
Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.